How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Just Nobody's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Daniel.
And today we're doing a podcast. Woo! If you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button and hit the like button. It's the one with the thumb going up. If you hit the like button, all your wishes will come true.
All your wishes.
I mean, it's worth a shot, right?
Every single one.
It's free.
That is true.
Also, comment what you guys want us to talk about next week, and we'll talk about it because this week we are talking about suggestions from last week. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast.
Okay, starting in the gaming world, a game that has taken over the gaming world right now is Helldivers 2.
Yes, Helldivers 2. I was very skeptical at first.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't help myself. I downloaded the game, and it's phenomenal. I love every single thing about it. It is very fun.
Yeah. To be honest, though, I don't remember there being a Helldivers 1. Did they just go straight to Helldivers 2? Because I have no idea where that first one went. But it is a really good game. But apparently, like, news about the game, there is someone that has a job for the game, okay? And they're called the Game Master. Okay. And their job to do is to go into the game and just make the game harder.
I mean, there's times when I feel like the mission's going pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the robots come out of nowhere and just start wiping me out.
Yeah, so their job is literally just to make the game harder.
That is insane that there's such a job.
I think they do it live because there's always concurring players. So I think they're doing it live.
I wonder how they pick. I mean, obviously, there's so many games going on and there's only one person.
Right.
Being the game master. How do they go into each game?
I don't know. Maybe they're just randomly choosing. Yeah. It's like a button, like harder.
You know what I realized about Helldivers 2 is that there's actually a very unique part of the game where we all are trying to conquer planets, right?
Yeah.
And we're actually working all together. We're all trying to protect Super Earth. So I wonder if the Game Master can see like all the planets that are being taken over. And he's just like, okay, go have enemies go more there, more there, more there. You know,
I'm sure that's how he's doing it. Because that makes sense. That's what's so cool about this game. Everybody is working on the same thing. And it's like a live feed of how many people are conquering what.
Right. I think that's what makes it so fun is that it's not toxic because everyone's working for the same, like they have the same goals.
Right. But moving on to movie news. So we're getting a lot of news about Spider-Man 4.
Yeah.
So apparently the rumor is that they're going to introduce live action Miles Morales in Spider-Man 4.
Man.
Because I know we talked about like how Sony wants to go with Tobey and Andrew route, but then Marvel wants to go with like the grounded Spider-Man, like Kingpin, Daredevil.
Yeah, so but, like for people that don't know, there's a lot of speculation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sony is pushing so hard for Spider-Man 4 to have Tobey and Andrew again when Marvel wants like a street-level Spider-Man movie with right. Kingpin. So, I mean, it's tough. I do feel like to overuse Tobey and Andrew too much, it's a little funky.
Yeah.
But I am all for seeing Tobey and Andrew, but I almost right. feel like they should have their own movie at this point then, if that's what they're going to do. Keep yeah. having them show up in Tom Holland movies, just give them their own.
I know. And we're probably going to see them in Secret Wars too.
Yeah.
So let that be like another like big surprise. Like even though we know it's probably coming, like just build the hype for that.
I agree. Just let them have their moment.
Yeah. Some more news though. Apparently Johnny Depp is being eyed to come back as Jack Sparrow.
No way.
But it would just be like a brief, like, small supporting role. Like, kind of make an appearance type of thing. It wouldn't be a lead Jack Sparrow like we're used to, but it would be a Johnny Depp Jack Sparrow.
Look, we know when we saw Tobey and Andrew come back on the screen in No Way Home, right? Like, that was, like, such a cool yeah. moment, right? And now with Deadpool 3 coming, we see Hugh Jackman's coming back, right?
Right.
Such an iconic character in our lives, right, to have come back. Johnny Depp falls in that same category of such a legendary character.
Yeah.
To return to the big screen, all that he went through with the Amber Heard trial and to be fired by Disney, but to be able to come back with the world behind him, it's going to be really cool to see. And, you know, it's going to bring that Tobey and Andrew reaction
yes.
out there, everyone.
Oh, it's going to be so good. If that actually happens, like, that's one of those break the internet moments.
Yeah. I do feel, though, in all fairness, right, just from, like, a critic point of view, I think that Tobey and Andrew coming back is obviously bigger, I think.
Yeah.
But the Johnny Depp comeback is very big, too.
Yeah. Another big comeback. Or I wouldn't say comeback, more of, like, something that's probably going to happen.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage, I guess, is rumored to play a live-action Spider-Noir.
What?
Yeah, he's rumored to be a literal live action of Spider-Man Noir.
I wonder how they're going to do that. In the Sony universe, or are they going to MCU it?
Because you would think it has to be like a Sony thing, because it's probably like a completely different universe and everything like that.
That's pretty cool.
To see Nicolas Cage be a Spider-Man in live action, that's pretty awesome.
Okay, you know, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool...
Ah, amazing. Spider-Man.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage is also rumored to be in Deadpool 3 as Ghost Rider.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going around. I don't know how true it is. All yeah. I know is that recently, Deadpool 3 had a bunch of people fly to London, right? And there's like a rumor going around that so many actors flew out
yeah.
to just be cameos and appear like a bunch.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I know that the original actor who played the Juggernaut
yeah.
in X-Men The Last Stand
mm-hmm.
refused to come back. He's like, I don't want to have to go through that again. But that just showed me a lot, right? If he was just going to be in Deadpool 3,
yeah,
right? You know how many other people are probably in Deadpool 3?
Oh my god!
Like, they're just pulling everyone.
Yeah.
Every Fox Universe character, any previous Marvel character, I think is going to come into the Deadpool 3 universe.
Yeah, that's a good point. If they're bringing that Juggernaut back, or if they attempted to.
Yeah.
There is a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That is crazy.
So I'm really excited because I feel like this isn't like a Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness situation where they show us in the trailer, you know, the Illuminati, right?
Yeah.
And we are all thinking like, well, if they showed us that in the trailer, there must be so much more.
Right.
I think in this case, no matter what they show in the trailers now, they know to keep all like the big cameos hidden.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot more.
Right.
On camera.
Because, I mean, all that we really got was the shadow in the back of Hugh Jackman. And then we might have got a preview of Ladypool.
Right.
That's really all we got from that first trailer.
I know. And you know what's so interesting about that is they're so smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
By hiding Hugh Jackman's, like, face,
yeah,
we will always be longing for that moment, right?
In right.
the trailer. Everyone's kind of forgetting about, like, the possible cameos. You're just kind of fixated on, like, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, that's such a good point.
So when Hugh Jackman arrives in the last trailer, probably, or whenever they're going to start using Hugh Jackman for right. marketing, I mean, there's going to be a lot left hidden.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That is genius, right? They're hiding Hugh Jackman for now to make sure we're all focused on Hugh Jackman.
Right.
But forget about what else is to come.
Yeah, because think about this, right? Say they revealed Hugh Jackman in the first trailer.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the next couple trailers come. And it's like, all right, we're waiting for the cameos. Show us some cameos, right? right? But since you don't show us Hugh Jackman, the next thing we're asking for is show us Hugh Jackman. Show us Hugh Jackman, right? So that if you just save that part, even though that's a given,
yeah,
it distracts from what also could be in the trailer.
Oh, dude, that's so smart. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's genius. Another thing in movie news, whenever we go to the AMC theater, everybody knows what's going to play first. The Nicole Kidman ad.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It is now being retired.
Are you serious?
It is now going to be retired. So
I don't know how to feel about that. I feel kind of sad.
I know. Everybody would like boo it in the theaters, but come on. We're going to kind of miss it now.
It became such a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, people started booing it, and then all of a sudden it became such a meme that people started cheering for it.
Right.
So it's, I don't know.
That's some pretty big news. It's being retired.
Would be hilarious if she goes to Regal.
Oh my gosh.
And then Regal's like, hey, change up the lines a little bit.
That would be so smart.
She would make bank.
Regal should almost just do that. Regal's got to jump on that. You
know Regal,
what?
Do it.
We should get a cut of that check.
Yeah.
Or at least you did. Okay, but another thing that I saw this week, I don't even know how this happened, but so you know the artist Dolly Parton?
Yes.
Right? So apparently, a while ago, there was a Dolly Parton lookalike contest. Like, remember how there was like the Paul McCartney lookalike contest?
Right.
There was a Dolly Parton lookalike contest. Now, Dolly Parton thought it would be funny if she entered the contest. So,
oh, that is really funny.
Yeah, so she entered, right? And she lost. She lost. Dolly Parton lost in a Dolly Parton lookalike contest.
That is hilarious.
How does that even happen? Who was voting on that?
I know. I wonder. See, my whole thing is, could they be like judging who looks like a young Dolly Parton? I wonder if there's something to do with the age that they're searching for.
Uh-huh.
Like,
it could have
who's
been, yeah.
closest to this Dolly Parton? And since Dolly Parton aged,
she's
no longer looking like young Dolly Parton.
That's true.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You would think that Dolly Parton should still win her own lookalike contest.
Right. Oh, but that is a good point. It could have been a different age Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, Dolly Parton has looked the same for a while.
I agree. I feel like that is really shocking, though. I couldn't imagine going to like a lookalike contest for yourself and losing.
Right.
I wonder what her reaction was to losing.
To be honest, I would be kind of hurt.
Yeah.
I would be kind of hurt. You're telling me like, oh, I once looked like that. Now I don't.
Or that I am portrayed a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And then the real me shows up. And I don't look like what people expect me to look like. It's kind of not a good feeling either.
Yeah, it can't. It's a lose-lose.
Crazy news also. Okay, now, I don't know if everyone is into boxing or fighting, but Mike Tyson, legendary boxer, is fighting Jake Paul. Jake Paul, as we know, is the YouTuber, but recently has invested a lot into boxing, is actually a decent boxer.
Yeah.
I believe Mike Tyson's 57 years old, and I believe Jake Paul is 26, 20,
something like that.
Something like that.
Is Mike Tyson 60?
Maybe he is.
He might be 60.
Well, Mike Tyson's old.
Yeah.
Very old. We saw him a couple years ago come back out of retirement and fight Roy Jones Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He lost.
Yeah, but that was kind of like a, it was very light, it seemed like.
I do feel, though, if Mike Tyson wants to fight, he has so much power still. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw a video of him training.
Yeah.
That guy can move.
Yeah, he still can.
He is moving like he's in his late 20s.
I mean, I would never want to even think about fighting Mike Tyson.
No.
No matter how old he is.
Right.
The guy is still super good.
Yeah.
So my whole thing is Jake Paul obviously has proven himself to be a fighter.
Right.
Now, if he's like one of the best of all time, I'm not going to go there. I think he's a good fighter, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He tries to play up that he's just a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you dedicate your whole life, the last 5 years, to a craft.
Yeah.
You could get pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you can't underestimate him. I do feel that he has height on his side. I think Mike Tyson's about 5'10". I could be wrong, but Jake Paul's 6-something, right? And Mike Tyson might even be shorter than 5'10". I don't know. All I know is that Jake Paul has age on his side.
Yep.
Has height on his side.
Yep.
In terms, has more reach.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going for Jake Paul in this opportunity here to fight Mike Tyson.
Yeah. And a lot on the line for Mike Tyson.
Kind of. I mean, part of me feels like Mike Tyson's probably just like, whatever, get the paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
His legacy is already established.
Already made, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. But I do feel like Jake Paul is probably going to go for the knockout. He wants to knock him out.
Yeah.
And I hope Mike Tyson has that fire in him again to want to knock Jake Paul out too.
Because
That's what would make an entertaining fight.
Yeah.
If Jake Paul like beats him up really bad and Mike Tyson doesn't give a good fight, I feel like that's so sad.
Yeah. That's just kind of like, now you're just like beating up on
an old guy.
Oh, an old guy, yeah.
I do feel that if I had to like bet on it, I would have to bet on Jake Paul.
Well, yeah, because you just listed like the advantages, right? He has a lot of advantages on Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So you would think you should bet on Jake Paul.
You would think.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mike Tyson is a legend.
Right.
You never know what can come out,
that
you know.
That is true.
But it just seems like you'd have to go Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Don't you feel you have to go Jake Paul?
I think so. Just because of the advantages he has.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the guy's in his 20s. Mike Tyson, maybe 60, late 50s.
Right.
That is an astronomical, like, advantage.
Yeah.
So if you were to bet, you have to bet on Jake Paul.
I mean, if we just look at in terms of, like, football, right? Yeah. Football is like a very demanding sport on your body, but not like boxing.
No, yeah.
I think boxing is way worse.
Well, boxing, you can get killed in boxing.
I know. So my example that I wanted to use was like, look at Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady retires at 45. I can't remember what the exact age was, right? And he's considered like one of the older football players.
Right, right.
Very long career.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine Tom Brady being Mike Tyson's age 20 years from now, hopping in the game and being like, I'm just as good to take on the 20-year-old people.
Yeah, and getting hit by 20-year-old people.
You know what? Maybe in football, you have a better chance as a quarterback because hopefully you don't get tackled.
Yeah.
But like when you're going to go in a boxing ring, you are going to get hit.
Yeah.
Unless you guys fix the fight and have a contract that says we're not going to try to kill each other and beat each other up. Look at the Logan Paul versus Mayweather fight. That was an exhibition. Logan Paul tried to knock Mayweather out.
Yeah, Logan Paul was going for it.
Yeah, he went for it.
Like, there's that clip of him just like wailing on him, right?
Right. And I feel like even the Tyron Woodley fight against Jake Paul, I believe that was an exhibition too, but there was a clear winner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm just saying. I think if you're asking me who I would bet for, I would bet on Jake Paul. I hate to say it because obviously, you know, I don't want to disrespect the legend Mike Tyson. I just think like he's at such a disadvantage.
Right. Yeah. I think Jake Paul is the way to bet.
Okay. So let's talk about this now. There's a lot of predictions for the Oscars.
Yeah.
As we get closer, Las Vegas usually has the Oscars pretty down to a science in terms of who they think will win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I thought before the Oscars happens, we kind of just go through our picks along with who's favored to win. And let's just see how it ends up. And like people can comment if we're ended up being wrong or if we end up guessing 100%. So let's start off with Best Picture. It's pretty clear it's Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
We really loved Oppenheimer.
Right.
The world loved Oppenheimer. Vegas thinks Oppenheimer's going to win by a mile.
Yeah. I honestly think it probably will.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the ones that are pretty shoo-in to win.
Now, when it gets to Best Director, right? Who's going to win for Best Director?
Yeah.
Las Vegas says Christopher Nolan's going to win.
Right.
This is where I feel a little iffy about, okay? I do feel he should win.
Yeah.
The only upset I could see happening is Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
He's the oldest Oscar-nominated director, I believe, to be nominated.
Really?
Yeah. And it would be a great story and a great moment in cinema history if he could end his career and win.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't know how many films he has left in him.
That is true. We know Christopher Nolan, right? He's going to keep going for a while.
Yeah. I think that could be like a real shocker.
Yeah.
Give it to him, Martin Scorsese. But I do feel Christopher Nolan deserves it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Christopher Nolan, but just remember I said that. Martin Scorsese has an outside chance.
That could be the surprise pick.
Yeah. Oscars for actors. Okay, now best actor in the leading role, Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. So it seems like Cillian Murphy is the shoo-in pick, but Paul Giamatti is, I think, the close second.
Yeah. I think it's Cillian.
I think so, too.
I'd be really kind of disappointed if Cillian doesn't get it.
Yeah, Cillian did do a very good job.
And I think if you look at his career, right, always kind of being like in the backseat of Christopher Nolan films.
Yeah.
Right. Like he was Scarecrow, which was a very big role. Uh-huh. Right. But a lot of the times he's kind of just like a supporting role.
Mm.
Right. We know Peaky Blinders, he was a huge role.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to see like this guy that's usually, you know, in the backseat of Christopher Nolan films, like a supporting role, to finally have this huge role as a, you know, lead actor. And I think in terms of a moment in cinema,
yeah,
you got to reward Cillian Murphy's performance.
Yeah. Like, it was not even that he's been on, like, the backside, like, the supporting role, and now he's in the front role. Like, he absolutely crushed it.
No, I know. I'm not trying to take away from his performance.
I know what you're saying.
I'm just saying it's such a cool story, right?
Right.
Where an actor is, like, always kind of in the supporting role, and then all of a sudden, his first big lead role, you know?
He kills it.
Kills it.
Yeah.
Now, lead actress in a leading role.
Mm-hmm.
Lily Gladstone.
Yeah.
Probably going to win.
I think she will.
Yeah, I think she did a great job. Emma Stone did a great job too, but I just think like Vegas has Lily Gladstone winning a little more favorably.
Right. I also think she should win too. Yeah. She knocked it out of the park.
So let's talk about best song.
Best song. Okay. What Was I Made For?
Yeah. What Was I Made For should win.
Should win.
Should win. Now, how cool would it be if I'm Just Ken wins?
It would be cool. But I think What Was I Made For was a very well done song.
It was.
Yeah.
But what if?
There's always that what if.
I know. And that's where I'm wondering if they could just shock the world.
Yeah. And I think they're both performing at the Oscars.
That's where I'm really shocked, because most of the time, like, the films will only let one song perform from their film.
Mm.
But it is interesting how a film could nominate two songs for best song.
I think because it's different artists.
Oh.
I think Billie Eilish should win.
Billie Eilish's song is great. Don't get me wrong. I think it should win.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what a cool moment would be if Ryan Gosling wins.
Yeah.
And Mark Ronson. You know what I mean? I think that would be so cool. It's just like so like silly.
Yeah. That song did take the world by storm.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about animated feature film.
Okay, now this is where it could be a little one way or the other.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse should win, but there also is The Boy and the Heron.
Right.
I honestly think that Spider-Man will win.
Yeah.
But there's always that chance of that surprise, The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, I do feel that it will be close.
Yeah.
Part of me feels like the Academy doesn't want to give it to a sequel.
Oh.
That's just me speaking like what I think could happen.
Okay.
And it could create a huge upset.
Yeah.
But I do feel that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was the best animated movie of the year. And I think the fact that they didn't get nominated for Best Picture was kind of like a snub. So I think they're going to win Best Animated Feature as like, hey, look, here, you know.
I also think that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse should have been nominated for either a song or also a score.
I agree.
Because that movie soundtrack was amazing.
Just when I thought it couldn't top the first, it did.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think they're going to win just because of all the snubs they got. They should win. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah. Now, maybe supporting actor? I think we know.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is going to win.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this right now. I believe for best score, Ludwig
should
win for Oppenheimer.
Yeah. He did so good. That score was so good.
Yeah. And we met him. And he's such a nice guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Super nice, super humble.
Yeah.
We were able to talk about Oppenheimer with him. It was so cool.
I know. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. I hope Oppenheimer just sweeps, because, like, it was so cool to be a part of the whole, like, tour of, we traveled to London and Paris.
Yeah.
And we were able to be with the actors. It was so cool. So thank you to Universal for that opportunity. It was such a dream come true. And we're pulling for Oppenheimer. This is going to be really crazy to say. If you don't follow us on Instagram, you may not know, but we are actually going to the Oscars this year. Last year, we went to the Oscars and we were able to do the press room, which is the first time ever creators were able to do that. And it was
film.
In film. It was so cool. We're so thankful to be going this year. And it's just kind of like,
it's just so surreal.
It's surreal, and it can't believe it.
Yeah.
And Daniel and I love movies. We love entertainment. We love TV. And when we started this, though, we never at like any point thought, oh, wow, we could go to the Oscars one day.
Never.
And it's such a blessing to be presented this opportunity. And I'm sure like kids out there now can like dream that like, hey, look, this is an opportunity, right? Right. Maybe you aren't an actor or an actress, right? But through content, you never know, right? And I think that's what's so cool is like for me as a kid, I never dreamt about this because I didn't think it was an option, you know? But now to see that it is, it's just so cool. And we're just so thankful to the Academy and to Justin and Nicole. Thank you guys if you're watching this. Most importantly, thank you to everyone that has been supporting us throughout TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. It's been a long journey. Just like any journey, it's not always, you know, like a clear, like, shot where everything goes great, right?
Right, right.
Through those times when things aren't going great, right? There's a lot to learn from, a lot to grow from, and a lot to persevere through.
Yeah.
That really makes these moments like going to the Oscars so powerful and so meaningful. So we're just so thankful to you guys. And yeah, we're just going to keep plugging away.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Okay, really quick, I want to talk about a theory I talked about last week. Lord Farquaad. Now, we never even know who his parents are, but there's a lot of evidence that points to possibly his parents were revealed through some secret.
Yeah, kind of just some details.
Some details. Okay, first off, the clothing. Lord Farquaad wears these poofy sleeve shirts, the same shirts, same poofy shirts that Snow White wears.
Yes.
Their sleeves have the same decals on it. They both have black hair, okay? Now, his dad.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot to say about his clothing. Lord Farquaad wears a red shirt, black belt. You know, one of the seven dwarves also wears the similar outfit. Grumpy also wears red, and he has a black belt, and he's grumpy, right? Yep. It'd make the most sense. Grumpy to have a kid would probably not be very nice.
Yeah.
More on the evil side. Lord Farquaad has the mirror on the wall, the magic mirror, the same mirror that his mom probably took from the witch and passed it down.
Yeah. They also have the same haircut.
Same haircut. Just saying, Lord Farquaad's parents, there he is, Snow White and Grumpy, had a kid in his Lord Farquaad.
Yeah. Another theory that I talked about last week was actually about Alligator Loki from the Loki show. Now, we know that all the Lokis that are in the void got pruned for trying to mess up the timeline somehow. They did something wrong that messed up the timeline, and it ended up kind of affecting the Avengers on their big mission.
Right.
Now, we all wonder, what could Alligator Loki do to mess up the timeline? And in the show, he's actually arguing with another Loki, and they say that Alligator Loki messed up the timeline by eating the wrong neighbor's cat. So how does that mess up the timeline? But there's a theory that since he ate the wrong cat, the cat that he left alive actually ate the rat that was supposed to bring Scott Lang back from the quantum realm. Because in Endgame, we see that the only way that Scott came back was that the rat pressed his button on the controller and brought him back.
Right.
While he was like in like the storage garage.
Yeah.
So yeah, Alligator Loki messed up the timeline because he ate the wrong cat. And cat that he left alive ate the rat that was supposed to bring Scott Lang back.
It seems very plausible.
It's very plausible, right?
But it also seems a little bit of a stretch. A
little stretchy stretch. It is a stretch.
Like
another theory some people were saying.
Okay.
Okay. Alligator Loki ate Goose.
Which would make sense.
Which would make sense how that could mess up the timeline, right? I mean, Goose had the Tesseract, but also Goose has a big role with Nick Fury scratching his eye. So who knows how different Nick Fury's life would have been with a second eye.
That's true. Maybe he'd see more.
He'd probably see more. Maybe some other events could have happened from that.
It makes sense, though. I mean, I feel like Marvel obviously had that line in the show for a reason, like for eating the wrong cat.
Yeah.
It was not necessary because it was just in the background. Like it wasn't even like a big deal.
Right.
Like it didn't need to be said. I think it makes sense that it was he ate the wrong cat in terms of the wrong cat got away, ate the rat that was supposed to save Scott Lang.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Especially because the other Lokis are like talking about how they like affected other Avengers, not just Thor. Like old Loki, I think, says he like killed Thor. But then the other Loki is saying like he killed Iron Man and stuff. Like, it makes sense that Alligator Loki had something to do with another Avenger, and it makes sense that it could be Ant-Man.
I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense.
But it's just a theory.
It is just a theory, but I think it could be plausible. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching this week's podcast. If you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button. Also hit the like button. Comment your Oscar predictions. Comment who you thought was going to win, who ended up winning. Let us know your thoughts. We love you guys so much, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on TikTok, and we'll see you guys next Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
We'll see you on the TikTok.
God bless you guys. See ya.
Love ya.